it's so good to see you here this morning. What an awesome presence. I believe there's some people this morning that God is saying, despite life, despite what is visible and what you can see and what you're facing, you've got to make me even more visible. By faith, you have to make me that visible. You hear all the other, and you're going to have to hear me. And we call that by different names and different ways of going about it. This morning, I want to show you one of them. I want to show you one way that God uses an illustration or a way of seeing it so that you take your mind or your focus off of the world's mindset and put it on God's. People who around me a lot, is one compliment I enjoy. Most of the time I'm not much on compliments. I know September is coming and all the other stuff, and I don't do good on that day, so if I don't stand up here and jump around, just know, and mentally I'm just like, let's get this over with. You know, I appreciate it. I'm just not good at that. But now there's one compliment that I enjoy, and that's that I am an excellent fisherman. If you say Pastor Lott can fish, you will not hurt my feelings. I will grin ear to ear. That's one I will take. In fact, even if you don't believe it, say it anyway. Speak it in faith. I'll take it. I'll receive it. Fishing is something I grew up doing all of my life, and from the time I was young and hanging out with guys that did tournaments and different things like that, and I've just enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the whole technique of all the different baits and how they work. It's not so much catching fish. You could throw a stick of dynamite in some water and catch fish if that's all you're after, but it is the mindset of using something that's artificial or something that's fake or something that's not real and attracting that fish out of its natural habitat and making it come out and bite at something and you catching it. And if it gets big enough, you get to take a picture of it before you put it back in. And that, to me, is the joy of it. It is the excitement of it. But now, I want to share something with you about fishing. I want to explain to you what, quote, when people say that about me, what makes me, quote, a good fisherman. It's not the fact that I go to Walmart and buy different kinds of baits than everybody. It's not that my crickets, when I spit on them, are any better than the crickets you spit on. It's not that I've got some magical formula when it comes to, quote, fishing. Here's the thing about fishing most people don't get. Fishing is not about the baits. It has very little to do with baits. As long as you've got a collection, you know pretty much the season. In fact, you can buy a magazine, it'll say, in the fall, use these baits. And in the spring, these are the best baits. And once you kind of know that, it's pretty much done. You'll learn how to use them. But here's the key. And don't tell nobody. But the key to being an excellent fisherman is casting. It's all built on casting. You can see fish, but if you can't throw there, you can know I need to get under that limb, but if you can't throw under that limb, if all you do is throw into the limb, and you lose about three or four baits, and I've been with guys when I was growing up, and I would watch them, and I would think, I'm using the same stuff he is. I know I'm jerk, but he knew how far away from the bank. He knew just how close. He could put that thing in places right between logs and right in places. And he could about tell you once he hit. And I would begin by worm fishing, and that's just artificial worm. And you just basically when you throw it, you just kind of jig it along the bottom. And that's how I began. And they told me, said, if you can worm fish, you can do any other kind of fishing because it's all feel. And so watching those guys who could throw it right over a log, make it just barely hit the water, not even hardly make a splash. And then as they got to pulling it over that log, they would say, watch this, one's going to hit it right on the other side. And it would just fall off the log. Not yank it over the log, they would just And it was the coolest thing to watch. And I wanted to be able to cast. I wanted to be able to throw. Because you don't want to be in a boat with somebody who can't throw. It doesn't take you very long. A few lines come swinging by you, a hook with a cork on it, and it's like, whoa, we need to go home. We don't need to be fishing today. And when you talk about casting, this is what Jesus talks about. In fact, go with me in your Bibles and let's begin. There's 4 points on this I want you to realize today. And go with me to the first one. Let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 7. 1 Peter 5 and 7. And I want to show you something about casting. When a person learns to cast, the amount of fishing or the quality of fishing is based on your casting ability. Some of you are cane pole people. Anything above a cane pole, you're pretty much going to tangle it up, mess it up, or ruin it. If anybody ever like that, got any cane pole people in here? Raise your hand. There you go. You're a cane pole person. They put a rod and reel in your hand, and the moment they do, it's like it's getting hung somewhere, or it's going to get backlash. It just doesn't work. My mom is a cane pole. She'll tell you, she doesn't care of all the, I probably got 50 rod and reels all in together in pieces and parts all over the world. And I can say, Mom, let me get you a rod. Tim, all I want's a cane pole. Just give me a chair and a cane pole and I'm happy as. But what she really is she's not comfortable throwing. So when you kind of begin this casting mentality, we usually start off with something about like this. This is Caitlin's and it's just a little Zebco 33. I fish with it all the time because it is the easiest thing to cast. You just got one button on the bottom. You hold that button. As long as you hold that button, it ain't going nowhere. The moment you let go of the button, it takes off. And you don't have to hold the string. You don't have to do anything. You can just aim it in a certain direction. You can aim it right over here and say, I'm going to hit you. And it's fun. My kids can use it. Anybody can use it. I can reach them ladies back there. I can throw it right there. We just have fun with this one. Nothing to it. And so when you start out, some of you might be a Zebco person. Your casting ability is, you know what? I just know how to throw. I'm really not aiming. I'm really not proficient. In fact, the only problem with this is there's only a certain amount of fish or quality of fish I'm going to catch from this. In fact, if I hang a big enough fish with this, it'll just drip it slap out. It'll just tear the gears out of it. In fact, last year, about a year or two ago, I was fishing and still stuck on Zebcos. It was easy to throw, and I didn't want to have to deal with any of the others. And I said, I'm just going to use my Zebcos today. We went bass fishing. I've been wanting to hang a bass. My brother, several years ago, caught one about 8 or 9 pounds when I quit fishing. And he made a picture of it and sent it to me and said, you can't get rid of this picture until you replace it with a bigger one and send it to me. I've had that picture probably for 10 years. I am sick of that picture. And so I'm thinking I'm going to replace that picture. And other people have told me, hey, I've got a pond you need to come try. And it was the right time of year. It was around February, March. And I thought, man, I am fixing to go fishing. Got in the boat, got to fishing, threw right up next to the bank, had my little Zebco in my hand. I hung him. Only problem was, is when I hung him, here again, they're not built for keeping the slack out. They're not built for... He went under the boat. By the time the slack caught back up, I looked behind me, and he decided to come out of the water. I could have stuck my whole arm down his mouth. He was at least 10 or 11 pounds. The guy that was with me, if I told you his name, you'd know him. He just said, oh, my goodness. And I looked behind him and I was like, oh. The problem is I've got a Zebco. And I'm trying my best to keep the slack out. I'm trying and the pole's bending. But he knew exactly how to go right back to the bottom, get me in some limbs. He didn't get to be 10 pounds by accident. And all of a sudden I started yanking. And the guy looked over at me and said, no. I said, yeah. And that was it. When you're fishing, you may say, well, that's the quality of casting. But understand that casting at that level will only accomplish so much. Now, some go into a bigger model. Now, this is a bait caster. Just I use it a lot of times when we're on the coast because you're catching reds or you're catching something like that. Now, this does the same concept, but notice the difference. I don't have any control, and this thing can backlash, and it can do a lot of crazy things. Man, I was aiming at you and didn't even hit you. I'll get you next time. This one throws, but when you throw it, you just throw it. You've got to be a little more proficient with this. You can't be as like a Zebco, just throw it. Because with this, how hard you throw it determines. In fact, I've got to know how much it weighs. And after time, what you do is you know about how hard to throw something to get it to where you want it to go. You know just about how hard it needs to be slung or thrown. Remember I said, these are more complicated. They got more errors in them. You got to be careful where the string is. When you throw it, notice I have to grab the string. I'm controlling it. It's not like the Zebco. I don't just throw it and let it go. And this, I'm in more control. More things can go wrong. The casting is a little more complicated. It's a little, not as bad. In fact, most people could handle this one. But now, it doesn't end there with casting. See, I really like fishing. Am I hung? Yep. Done got my giant cork hung over that seat. Got me? You might get it out. There we go. So if you use this one and you say, I'm going to do casting, you're going to have a little more ability. It looks cooler. It's funner to use. But it also can cause you a lot more. The line phrase a lot more. There's a lot of stuff that can go wrong. You got different types of gears. You got a big old knob here on the top that really adjusts, because depending on what size fish you're catching, you have to adjust the drag a lot. And it's on the top because a lot of times when you hook the fish, you're having to adjust it while you're doing it because you may lose him. A lot more complicated. A whole lot more in a cane pole. Could you imagine me giving this to my mom? Here you go, Mom. We're going fishing today. Well, I don't know what you want me to do with that. She'd just pull out, here's my mom. She would have. That'd been my mom. She would have this, I would say hundreds of dollars reel. This is more like a $30 reel. This $30 reel, instead of a, she turned it into a $5 cane pole. And a lot of us do that with our casting. We turn something that's that extreme. Now, you say, Brother Light, that's a lot already. Well, let me show you a couple more. Then there's this one. Now, this one, even I don't like. But now, I should have had it when I was bass fishing because it's a lot more. But notice everything I have to control. You're talking about backlashing, or as we call it, a bird's nest. You can get them. If my finger isn't tight enough on this, if it isn't controlling it to the nth degree, that thing will just keep on spinning inside there. The only difference is in this bad boy, I can set it like this, and I can flip one switch, and now all of a sudden it'll do this. I can adjust how it's going to sound. I got knobs all over this thing. I can adjust how fast it turns, how fast it comes out, how hard it is to do this or that. It's still casting, isn't it? But it's at a different level. It's a different level of casting. And then finally, my favorite. You know why it's my favorite? Because I've never done it. I've done it in my pond. I've done it on a few creeks. And I've done it. This is my dream. I've got five of these rods. Never go fly fishing. In fact, me and Luke, when we went on a motorcycle trip a couple years ago, it was the first place we went. We could catch trout. We thought, hey, that's cool. We're going to take our trout poles. And the pond was about from me to Luke. And I said, well, that stinks. We still did it. But now this is totally different. This, you are in total control. You decide how far you want it to go. You decide when you want to let it go. And when you do, you just, with this kind of casting, you'd have to see it and have the ability to actually sneak up or throw it to where he is. Now that's fishing. Or that's what? Casting. That's as extreme a casting. And for fishermen, this is it. This is the bomb. This is the greatest fishing you can do. Why? Because to go catch a redfish, you know, we catch redfish with shrimp, but imagine being on a boat and have to be up high enough where you could see the water and you could see the fin of a redfish, and you've got to be able to take this and throw it in front of him and then entice him to hit the bait. That's extreme fishing. Anybody ever want to go? I'll go with you. Just let me know. We'll load up together. But there's not a whole lot of places in Mississippi to do that. You have to go kind of far away. I had a friend a while back that went to Alaska and did the steelhead. He said, oh, man, you got to. And I was thinking, yeah, that has to be cool. But it's all casting. Now, it wouldn't really matter the baits. And in fact, a lot of times when you're trout fishing, you know what they tell you the best bait is? Corn. Just put a piece of corn on the end. Because the hardest part is not catching the fish. The hardest part is getting it to where the fish is. The hardest part in life is the same thing. Just like what helps me in fishing is the fact that usually I can outcast the people I'm with. Now, if I go with Jim Dilley or I go with others, I realize, all right, I'm probably not going to catch as many as they do. Because they fish. And they're going to be on the front of the boat and they're going to put me on the back. They're not dumb. And he's going to have the trolling motor. And you know what he's doing before I get to every spot? He's casting. He's casting in those spots. Jennifer's mad now at him because she's wondering why she's always had been at the back of the boat. Look at her. She's upset. I totally messed that up, Jim. I'm sorry, buddy. But that's why they won't, because they can sit there and they can see and they're casting in front of you. Then if they don't catch it on their cast, they're like, well, now you can fish it now. And that's why me and my buddies will always argue, I'll do the trolling motor today. You realize it ain't as much work. It's a lot more fun because you get to be at the spot first. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Jesus is using this analogy of casting, of throwing, of being able to let go. And here's what he says. He says, cast all your cares upon who? Upon me. For he careth for you. Cast all your cares upon Jesus because he cares for you. Just like in fishing, life is the same way. If you want to ask me, well, Brother Lott, why after all these years and all this stuff and all, I mean, you go through stuff, because even this week I had my body fighting against me and I've had to go to the doctor and stuff. Life is life. But Brother Lott, I mean, you don't understand the struggles. No. It's that you don't understand the casting. Our problem is not our problems and struggles and situations. Our problem is whether or not we have the ability to cast our fears, our problems, our troubles, everything that weighs on us, on Him. Just like fishing and casting, it's the same way with God. The one who has the ability to cast the best, the one who has the ability to give. I want you to notice what this scripture is saying. When he talks about care, cast all your what? Cares or anxiety. In the Greek, carries the understanding of a distraction, or something that has caught your attention. Sometimes you can get so caught up in attention that literally you can come to church. I mean, come all the way to church, got here, did everything, got ready, did everything, but got here and sat down, and you know where you still at? In your mind, you're still in the same place you was when you got up this morning. He says, listen, cast all that anxiety, all the thoughts, all the worries, all the stress, all the things that you don't understand and don't know how to fix, cast them, because all those cares, all those anxieties, and all those worries will cause you not to be able to give me what you need. When I go fishing with my boys, it's kind of a humorous thing, because just like anybody doesn't fish a whole lot, instead of looking at where they're supposed to be casting, what do you think they're looking for? Fish. And if a little fish pops the top of the water right over there, you know what they do? Ooh. And all of a sudden, one will hit somewhere else. And we do that in life. You know what? If I could just get that, if that job will work out. Oh, Brother Lot, be in prayer today now, because I'm telling you, if I can get this sale. You notice what we're not doing? It's a lot more enjoyable believing the fish will come to you. It's a lot more enjoyable casting all of your cares on something and realizing I'm in the right place. And if you got too much anxiety and you see too much and too many things bother you, when I was young, it was everything from girls to what I'm going to do, and I hope God doesn't come back before I get married, to everything else in my brain. God said, Tim, you'll never, ever amount to what I want you to if you can't learn to cast it on me. All those cares, you got to cast them on me and rest. Stand. Because he's very specific. God tells us to cast, to fling, to throw out. Cast here literally means this. It means to fling something down or away, usually with force. It's not like I've just thrown it out there and I might pick it back up. But you ever throw stuff in your yard? I'm bad about feeding everything in the yard. Because any of our leftovers, my wife gets all on me, because here's my strategy. I just, as I'm washing dishes or I'm doing other things, I just start collecting it all in one big pan. And then at the end of the night, I go outside. My wife's already like, you got to get that out of here. That just stinks. That's nasty. And she goes off the wall about that. I'm like, it's just food. It's no big deal. And you got to get that out of here. And don't throw it right around the house. So I walk outside. I walk out in the yard. And I have no intention of ever picking it back up. So I don't just, let me just put it right here. You never know. I might need some more of that cornbread. No. I don't know if you do this, but I grab the back end of that pan and I'm... And the birds can eat and everything. You know why? Because I have no intention. I have cast it. I have no intention of ever picking it back up. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I don't know where it's going to go, but I know this much. It isn't mine any. So when he says cast, he means throw it down. The things that stress you and worry you, have you thrown them down hard enough and far enough and in such a way that you can't pick them back up anymore? Have you allowed God to separate it from you? In fact, he even goes to the extreme of how much. Well, you know, God doesn't want to hear my problems. God doesn't want to, God has busier things to do, and he doesn't want to hear about, just like me this week, and I've had a whatever it is, a bug bite or something on my leg, and it's got infected or what have you, and I don't know. And I'm just like, Lord. And there's a part of me that's like, this ain't even worth talking about. People dying and people in hospitals. I had to visit Mark's mom this week who had to have surgery, and we've had several other people, and Duran had surgery this week, and I'm thinking, my little old, that ain't even worth praying about. That ain't even worth worrying about. And then it was like the more I studied this, I'm like, how dumb do you want to be, Tim? Because he said to cast just the important things on me. Cast most everything on me. No. He said, Tim, I want you to get in the mindset of casting everything on me. I love how Jesus said it. Jesus said, I can do nothing unless I see the Father do it. He cast his whole day. He cast every miracle he ever did, everything he ever said. He said, I can't do it unless I see the Father doing it. Not only that, he said, cast your cares. He makes it very personal. Cast all your cares. If we had to say where that's kind of ranked, we would probably say it's right here. Because you don't have to be as smart, and you don't have to be as gifted or talented, do you? You got to be able to push the button and do what? You could pretty much learn to do that, couldn't you? He says, number one, all I want you to do is learn the ability to cast all your cares on me. For some of us, if we could learn to throw this today, we'd be doing good. Some of us can't sleep at night. Some of us have anxiety, worried about our kids and worried about our job and worried about our husband or wife and worried about where we're going to be and can't eat. And you got to learn to cast. It's not complicated. It's not hard. Just cast everything on Him. Let me show you another one. If you can learn to do that, then the next, go to Ecclesiastes with me to 11, beginning with verse 1. Now we got to go up a step and a little harder. Now it's pretty easy to cast all my cares. That's pretty no-brainer. I don't even have to judge it. I don't have to, no special instruments, no special ability. He says to throw how much? All on who? Him. I got it. That means I throw everything I've got, every worry I've got, every problem I've got, I can chunk it on Him. And I can say, God, I need You to help me. But now the other one's a little more complicated. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in a place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not do what? Shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not. As thou knowest not what in the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh, how much? All. In the morning, do what? Sow your seed. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Now that's a little more complicated. It's not completely hard. What he's using is an illustration, and he's saying, let me go back to Egypt. When we planted wheat in Egypt, here's the way we did it. The Nile would always flood. And during the winter season, when it was flooded, you didn't do anything. But then came the spring, and when the spring came, what happened? The waters started to recede, and it became a mud hole out there. Just patches of water, just a mud hole. And you know what we did? We cast our seed upon the what? The water. He said, cast your... No, he didn't say seed. He said, cast your bread. Let's make it a little more personal, because if it was just seed, it could be something that we just got or something that really isn't useful. So I'm going to give it to God. You know, it's kind of like you got an old couch and you say, you know what? We don't use this old couch anymore. It's got two or three holes in it. Let's give it to the church. Yeah, let's give it to the church. They probably can use it and kids. Now, it'd be another thing to go to Miskelly's and say the church needs a couch. And to go and buy a couch and to sew bread. Because you could actually use that couch, right? Come on now. Stay with me. See, a lot of times what we do is we sow seed. And when we sow the word, that is seed. But we're talking about something more than this. He said, I want you to sow your bread upon the waters. I want you to sow what is in your hand, what is good in your hand to do and to be able to accomplish. Instead of eating it all yourself, I want you to divide it among 6, 7, 8 different people. I want you to find places and things you can invest what you have that is good. If you've got a go-kart sitting around at the house and it's doing nothing but collecting dust, don't you think that's bread that could be sold, that could be invested and turned around and given into the kingdom? Go make some money, bring it and say, you know what? God's been good to me. I had this happen last week. I'm not going to talk about the amount, but I had a personal friend who sold a business and did everything. And man, he was just grinning ear to ear. And he was like, God's been good to me. And he started talking to me about what we were trying to finish up and what we were trying to do. And he handed me the check. Let's just say it had a lot of zeros. He didn't have to do that. He didn't owe me anything, didn't. But what was his mindset? I am going to cast my bread on the water. And I love what he said. He said, I've given to several different people. You know what he's smart enough to do? 6, 7, 8 different people. People he's investing in. Because here's the thing. I might not come through for him. You invest everything in your husband. How are you going to feel when he disappoints you? Invest everything in your kids. What are you going to do when they grow up to not like you as much as you thought they would? See, you're not supposed to sow that way. When they went out over the Nile, they started sowing seed not on one water patch, but on every water patch. They just started throwing seed because they didn't know. They knew somewhere it was going to come up, and it had to come up. But the fact is, they didn't know exactly where. Their job was to sow their bread upon the water. And he said, in due time, it will return. It's a little more complicated sowing. Well, it's one thing to just give God my problems. I can just go on living. And if I have a problem, I do what? Give it to God. If I have a problem, give it to God. Now, this is a little more technical. Now I've got to measure. Okay, got everything right. Where am I going to put it? Where am I going to invest? What friends am I going to have to invest in? Who's the people I'm going to hang out with? We get in way too much trouble because of our society. I'm going to tell you something. Preaching the gospel right now is one of the hardest things to do. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not because you can't preach sermons. Sermons are not a problem. But it's simply because of this. We live in a cell phone, instant popcorn. Don't have to stand up to change your channels. If you're sick of this, you can change it to that. 182, 120, the top 120. You're entertained to death. And then I have to stand up on Sunday and say, you just need to trust God. Well, how long? Maybe 5 years. 5 years! It may take you a lifetime. Take me a lifetime? I ain't got time for that, Pastor. If we can't have it instantaneously, that's why when you turn on the TV and stuff, that's what they use to promote it. Hey, if you send it, this is your blessing and it'll be coming in a week. Hey, if you do this, you'll get this instantaneously. God wants you to do this instantaneously. Everything's instantaneous. They've even got a diet plan now that within 21 days you can look like this. I remember when it was 90. You know, I did the P90X. I didn't look like that after 90 days. I looked better. I didn't look like that. And then they went down to the 60. And then it got to where, you know what, people ain't going to work out whole hours, so let's just do 10-minute tapes. You can have that body. You don't even have to work out this much. Now, think about it. I used to have to work out that much to get the body. Now, in a year or two, they've told me I only have to work out 10 minutes, 6 days a week, and I can have the body. Something isn't right, because if it took 90 over here, an hour and a half each time, and now it's only taking 10 minutes, somebody's lying. But here's the thing. To get you to buy the product, they understand that you have no ability to be able to be patient. So what they are doing is they're selling you something that will get instantaneous gratification, make you feel good in a week. But the fact is, they realize it doesn't work. When you come to church and Pastor Lott stand up here, look, it's going to take some effort and it's going to take some work. And you got to read your Bible and you got to grow. I ain't got time for all that, Brother Lott. I'm busy. And because of it, we have the inability to cast our bread. Now, don't get me wrong. We'll give our seed, you know, a little tithe, we'll throw a $10 bill in there, what we can afford and what we can, you know. We'll give a little bit of time, you know, Brother Lott, if we have a function, I appreciate that. But you know, I can't guarantee I can help every week. I can't guarantee I can work in church every week because I don't know if I'll be here. You know, we take so many trips and we do so much stuff now and the kids. And well, I got three of them and I'm here every week. No, the problem is that we just are not good at casting. There's another one. Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not do what? War after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting. Doing what? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Man. Okay. I got the throw everything on God. I got that. I can handle that. I can even handle, okay, I've got to be more proficient and I've got to cast and I've got to be able to cast my bread upon the water and cast my specifically into ministries and cast my life into certain things. I got that. Let me read what one writer said. Our reach should always be higher than our grasp. Every man will fall a bit short of his highest aspirations. But that's not hypocrisy. That is human shortcoming. Hypocrisy is the deliberate living of a lie. Worshipping outwardly like normal, while inwardly we worship different idols. Saying that we think or feel or do one thing, and behind closed doors and in secret, we are this. Downstairs is in our thought life. This is where our character is cultivated. We all have two worlds. These are the worlds that most people want to see, because we can say, hey, do you love the Lord? Yeah, I love the Lord, and I give the Lord my life, and I'm saved. And hey, do you work in church? Man, I sing in the choir. I do some stuff. I give my life. I've cast my life to the Lord, and I'm committed. But you know what the world sees? This. And this bad boy, like I said before, it's got knobs and buttons, and it's not easy to play with. In fact, most people, we just don't even give it to them when we go fishing with them. We're like, can you use an open face reel? Well, I've never used it. Well, then let's just put you on a Zipco. Because today is not the day for practice. You get in your yard and practice, and you can get. In fact, it's kind of like praying and reading your Bible. You do that on your own time. Don't go down to Walmart and start witnessing to people if you hadn't practiced. Don't get on Facebook and start telling everybody about your religious beliefs if you hadn't practiced. Because they're going to also not only know your commitment to God and your this, they're also going to look for your character. Because if you want to separate people that really fish and don't fish, just put one of these in their hand. It doesn't take very long, and I can, if you go with a guide or anybody like that, they don't even have Zipcos. They don't have any reel like that. All they have is these right here. And they give them to you. You can hire a guide, and he may have five of them, nice ones. I mean, $100 ones and plus, you know, and you're looking at them like, wow, that's nice. He said, you ever thrown one? Yeah. And he's through with you. He's expecting you to know how. He's on the other side of the boat throwing, and you're sitting over, man, I can't get this. I can't. You spend your whole day pulling bird's nest out if you want to, but he's fishing. It's the same way. Our job is thirdly to cast down. It's harder. It's what separates somebody who would be called a fisherman versus somebody who fishes. See, if you just want to fish, I can hook you up with one of those and we can go fishing. But if you are a fisherman, you will be proficient in something beyond a cane pole. You will be proficient in beside something than a Zipco 33. You will be able to, without having bird's nests. I can't throw it much further because I ain't going to wait on it. If I had weight on it, I'd pop you in the head. I'll get closer. Is that okay? I stopped it. See, I have control. I can stop it. I can put my finger on it. She's glad I love her. She's been good to me lately. God is looking for somebody He can say, look, we got some work to do. Can you use this? Can you cast down imaginations? I'm not talking about the outward image that everybody has. I'm not talking about the go-to-church image. I'm talking about the inward man, the thoughts, the imaginations. Have you grown to where you can control those? We're not talking about go to church today and then watch pornography tonight. We're not talking about acting like you're all happy today, and then when you get in the car, you're mad as a hornet at your husband or your wife, and life just ain't no good. Nah, 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 nah. I'm talking about reaching a point to where the inward person is just as powerful as the outward person. Let me show it to you in Scripture. Go with me to Proverbs 23 and 7. I got 5 minutes, so don't slow me down. Proverbs 23 and 7. For as he think in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But his heart is what? not with you. Same thing. Yeah, he's doing good on the outside, but he can't really fish. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew 15 and 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the what? But that which comes out of the mouth. I know people look at me and they talk about me eating potted meat and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't ever going to get mad at me for eating potted meat. But he sure gets mad at me for junk that comes out of my mouth. He can get highly upset with my attitude or my thought life. He says, Tim, what you're eating and all this, yeah, you need to take care of your body and I hope you do a good job, but that's not what's going to defile you. What defiles a man is what comes out of his heart. It's what you do with your girlfriend when nobody's around. It's what you do with your boyfriend when nobody sees. It's what you put on Facebook. It's what you text to each other. It's the selfies that you send. It's all the things that you do when nobody's watching. It's what you're reading and watching on television when nobody's around. It's all the stuff that you do that makes you who you really are. See, a lot of times this is a very uncomfortable place because you're acting like something you're not. And you got a choice. Either you can step up and learn to be that person, you're going to spend the rest of your life hiding. Trying to keep two different images. Telling everybody, I can fish. I can fish. Well, here. I don't like using those. I thought you liked to fish. I do. I'll just use this one over here. It's easier to throw. Yeah. But if you catch more than a little bream, you're going to have a hard time landing it. Well, it's all I've ever used. God says, what I want from your life is for you to reach a point to where you can cast down the imaginations. You know what imaginations literally means? Imaginations are those philosophical ways the world looks. It's like, where did dinosaurs come from? Cast it down. How did we get here? There's some questions that you're not going to have the answer and I'm not going to have the answer until we get to heaven. I'm not going to sit here and have debates trying to convince you of a God and you're trying to convince me that I come from some gorilla. It's casting down anything that exalteth itself, anything that raises itself, anything that says, I know more. And you do that strictly by faith. And here's what happens. The proof is in your life. When I cast down imaginations, what happens is I get to watch the people of the world. I get to watch the people that they say are so precious and powerful and they got all the good. And I get to see the Robin Williams of the world. And I get to see all the Will Ferrells of the world. And I get to see all the different people that commit suicide and all the things they do. And the Elvis Presleys and all the Marilyn Monroes. And I get to watch all of them. And I get to say, okay, who's proficient at casting? Who can fish in the big pond? Who can fish? Who can live? My son is figuring that out now. He's went to college and now the professors and everybody else. You know, not everybody's saved there. They teach some crazy junk. And he can't change that. And I realize he can't stand up and argue every class with every teacher. But it's impressive watching him learning how to be proficient. Now he has to use all those skills to fish. In fact, the thing he asked me the other day, and I love it the most, he said, "Dad, you got to get me some more books and stuff. Specific books on different issues and different topics." Why? He said, "Because I got people ask questions and things." And I'm like, get proficient at casting. Go with me to Mark 7 and 15. I'm all but through. Mark 7 and 15 says this: "There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are which defile him." One more. Go with me to John 6 and 37. Oh, here comes this bad boy. This thing just looks like it'll tangle up. I mean, it just even when you're messing with it, you have to keep it in a case, and it has to be taken care of, and you have to oil and stuff on the line, because the line will get all dried out, and it's just a mess. This thing is just totally, this is so much work. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will," what? "I will in no wise cast him out." There are certain things in life you're going to have to learn to cast out. This is the highest level you live. You might be able to cast all. You might be able to throw your bread. You may be able to cast down. But the hardest, most difficult thing is what you got to cast out. Let me show it to you this way. Just to make you know, I'm not making this stuff up as we go. Go with me to Matthew 5 and 13. Here's a scripture you'll like. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be..." Look at the person beside you and say, "Cast out." See, here's the thing. You're even trying to... If you don't rise to the final level, what happens in church is eventually you get cast out. Now, I'm not going to throw you out. Nobody else is going to throw you out. Here's what's going to happen. Your very life is going to cause you to feel so bad that eventually you'll just say, "I'm not going to church no more. It doesn't match up with my lifestyle. It doesn't match up." And here's the thing. God says, "I didn't save you so you could just go back and keep doing what you're doing and live the way you want to live. I saved you so that I could make you the salt of the earth, so that I could create in you and design in you all of those things and the ability for the world to see it. And if you don't have the same desire that I have, you will eventually lose your what? Savor. Your saltiness. We'll see you on Facebook. You're a good Christian person. You're hanging out with five others on the beach that drink like sailors. You'll lose your saltiness. And I know I pick on Facebook, but just know this. I don't even have Facebook. So I'm not the one looking at you. But friends are. There's a lot of people. Amazing now how fast stuff gets around. "Did you see what I saw the other day?" Nope. Well, good thing you didn't see that. I'm thinking, they put that on out there for everybody to see? Somebody posted it. Go with me in your Bibles. 1 John 4 and 18. "There is no fear in love. The perfect love casteth out" what? "Fear." Because fear has torment. "And he that feareth is not made perfect in..." If you walk around scared, worried, anxious, it's because you haven't allowed God to cast out
fear.
Well, I didn't know all this was, it's all in here. I'll give you one more. Go with me to Matthew 7 and 5 and I'll finish. Is that okay? I like preaching with a fishing pole in my hand. Makes it easier to talk. Here's what God would say, or Jesus preaching, he would say, "Thou hypocrite, first cast what? Cast out." Look at the person beside you and say, "Cast out the beam that is in your eye, and then you can see clearly to cast out the splinter out of your brother's eye." It's not complicated. The highest level I have to live. And if I went out with somebody and did this, they'd laugh at me because I've never done it really. I mean, I've done it in a pond, I've done it, but I've never done it in streams and rivers and trying to find a big salmon swimming downstream and throw it in front of him and float it down. And I wouldn't even know what baits. But here's what God says. "Tim, I want you to finally be proficient at the highest level. And the highest level of casting is when you have the faith to cast out what doesn't belong." That don't mean go home and tell your husband, "I'm throwing you out." It doesn't mean go home and tell your kids, "I'm through with you." But it means when I'm looking at my life, the highest level I have is to look at my life and say, "Tim, what doesn't fit? What doesn't match who you say you are? What about you, Tim, tells someone that it's not real?" And I have to search my life all the time to make sure that I'm still proficient at the highest level. Because believe it or not, I don't want you to see me on some email or newspaper, or I prefer to stay away from that. I prefer you be able to say, "You know what, Pastor Lott not only preached that, but he lived it. He lived it." I want your kids to be able to look at you and say, "My mom and dad didn't just carry me to church, they lived it." I want your grandkids and I want your friends to be able to say, "You know what? They didn't just talk about God, they showed me God." If you're in here right now, it's your challenge. There's two people in this room for every person. There's the outside person that everybody sees, and there's the inside person we're working on. And I'm not trying to tell you I'm perfect. And I'm not trying to tell you I got it all cornered. I'm just saying I'm a lot more proficient today than I was yesterday. And my goal is to be perfect. I want to be able to throw this thing as well as I can throw a Zebco 33 one day. Don't know if I ever get there, but I know it's my goal. My goal is for my kids to see me live in front of them a godly life. I may not be the best dad and the most loving dad or this dad, but I don't want my kids to ever dislike God because of me. I want them to be able to one day say, "My dad believed in God. My dad taught me about God." I want my friends to be able to say, "Tim was not a fake." We're not saying he was perfect. There are a lot of things about Tim we didn't like. But Tim was not a fake. And the world you come from, is longing to see that too. They're longing to see you cast everything on Him. And to realize you do it because He cares for you. He's got a plan for you. If you're here right now, that's your choice. You don't have to come to an altar to do that. You can do it right where you're sitting. You can just make a decision in your mind. I know there's two people in this room. There's the person everybody sees, and there's the person I struggle with. And I've decided I'm not going to stay that person. I'm going to grow by reading my Bible. I'm going to grow by my prayer life. I'm going to grow by my church. I'm going to grow by finding me a friend and sharing my weaknesses. And I didn't say share it with everybody. Don't go standing up here in front of everybody and saying, I want to just share with y'all. You better be a long way down the road before you do that. Stuff I share about me right now, that's one thing. It's because I'm years past it. Be another thing for me to say, now guys, I've just been getting over this about the last week or so. I'm liable to have a relapse. Find a friend. Be accountable. Fishing is so much funner with friends than it is by yourself. There's nothing better than me to beat Jim Dilley or Mark Gaddis at fishing. I don't do it very often, but it's a good feeling. Life's funner with friends. I don't even go with Charles. Charles beat me last time. I don't even know when I'm carrying him back. Will you pray with me? Father, God, I feel like my life has been a life of learning how to cast. I started off with cane poles and just zip codes, just trying to trust you with my life and trust you with my salvation and trust you with my paying tithes and helping in the church and giving my time. But God, thank you that you didn't leave me there. Just doing religious things and just doing the basic stuff. Thank you that you reached down on the inside and you began to teach me how to cast more than I ever thought possible on you. Strongholds I could cast down. Father, places in my life that I wasn't strong enough and wasn't able to deal with, you said, cast it all on me, Tim. And Lord, you have proven yourself strong. You are the greatest teacher of casting, the greatest teacher that I've ever met. And I thank you today for how far I have come. I still have a lot of work to do. But thank you. As the old song said, He's still working on me. To make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. I love how impatient you must be. You're still working.